God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with yours today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about being joyful warriors in Christ. Are you a joyful warrior? Let's emphasize the word joy today. Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have joy in your life? Do you have joy in the good times before the Lord? And when you face the battle, the fierce battle, the hard and long war, when things threaten you, when they come against you, when calamities seem to strike, can you be a joyful warrior even then? Well, let's take a look at that today and see what God teaches us about being joyful warriors. And watch this, is there a secret weapon that can give you unstoppable joy in your life that you don't have maybe right now because we've neglected or laid down the secret weapon, but taking it up, that you can have an unstoppable joy for the rest of your days, ever increasing through the Lord. Let's take a look at that today. Joyful warriors, what's God teach us about that in his word, the scriptures, the Bible? First question we need to establish the answer to, though, is, are you warriors? Is that what God calls you to be, really? Well, let's take a look here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So, soldier equals a warrior. Such are you called to be. Hence we hear, fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life, to which you were called in the presence of many witnesses. And Jesus says in Revelation 3, to him who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. So, are you called to be warriors? Amen, yes, absolutely. But how about joyful warriors? Is that what God is after with us? Let's open up Psalm 32, verse 11, and hear what we read of the saints there. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So is God's will for you to be joyful and to be a joyful warrior? Yes and amen. We read also, honor and majesty are before him, before God. Strength and joy are in his place. Our God is a God of joy. And David says in Psalm 4, thou hast put more joy in my heart than they, the godless, have when their grain and wine abound. In the New Testament, we read things like this. Jesus said in John 15, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And the Apostle Paul has written in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. See, you put those two together, and what do we get? Warrior and joyful equals a joyful warrior. This is God's will for you and for me to be joyful warriors in all of life's battles, fierce and hard as they may be. Are you? Now, does that mean then that we can't ever be down in life? That we can't have a bad day? What do you say, Kayla? That we can be worried or anxious, Nancy? Or troubled in spirit at times? I mean, we all get down, don't we? In life, it's a tough life, this world we have to go through. And, you know, David, he was a great warrior in the Old Testament, but he, a lot of the Psalms, he's wrestling with fears and anxieties and worries. He's pouring them out to the Lord. We hear that of all the other saints in the Old Testament, and even Paul in the New Testament, who was like Mr. Super Joyful Guy, well, he had his tough days too. 2 Corinthians 1, he said he at one time felt crushed and despaired of life itself, but then God comes and refreshes his joy. So I'm not just blowing smoke and rosy stuff at you today like, oh, we should just be in right, upright, upright, downright, happy all the time. Hey! It's not like you don't have trouble sometimes, okay? But the sum theme of your life, God says, I make you, I want you, my will is you be joyful warriors. That should be the overarching theme of your day and your battle and to rise to it every day. You know, Jesus even said at one point, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. So even he had a hard go of it. Amen. On the way to the cross. So you will too. That's okay. You know, life as I was thinking about this week, it's sort of like the ocean just a couple blocks away. The troubles come upon us like waves, don't they? And it's like as soon as you get through one wave and you think you're done, another wave comes and hits you. And it's like, ah, the battle is fierce, the war is long, but will you be joyful warriors in it? And when the devil is like a sniper hiding in the bushes to shoot, as the Bible tells us, 1,000 flaming arrows at you, are you going to be able to quench them and stop them and keep an unstoppable joy in you? You know, the devil, if he can't destroy you entirely, he will at least try to shoot an arrow at a main artery to bleed out your joy and make you ineffective or unfruitful. But if we take out a secret weapon, which I might share with you in a moment, it is a key to the power of an unstoppable joy that he will never be able to take away from you. And so, next question then is how? Good question, right? How can we actually be joyful warriors in the fight? Even when the battle's fierce and the warfare long and dark. What must we do to be joyful warriors before Christ in this world? And what is that secret weapon? Say the words, secret weapon. If we but took it out, wielded it, used it, you would and will have this week and for the rest of your life an unstoppable joy. What might that weapon be, and what must we do? Well, if you know your Bible, you know the answer to fighting a good fight is always in using your good armor and weaponry God's given you. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's warm up to it with this one. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what do we need? Armor. The armor of light, the weaponry of God. And what is that? You know it well. It's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt or loins of truth, the gospel of peace for your feet, that marvelous shield that quenches all the flaming darts of the evil one called faith, the sword of the Spirit, being the word of the living God, and these will give you victory in life and a great measure of joy. But that's not yet the secret weapon. Where do we find that? Let's look on the next verse of Ephesians 6, which says this. We're getting close now, getting warmed up, getting hotter. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We're getting closer to it. What is he saying here? In addition to all that other stuff, take up what? Prayer to the living God. And this, now we're getting really hot, but now we need to understand there are really three parts of prayer that we see in Scripture. What are they? Number one, you offer your complaint to God. That's when you cast your cares on him. Oh God, this is a terrible day. I'm having a really tough time. This is not going well. I'm in real trouble. That's the complaint, number one. Second part of prayer in Scripture is your petition. Oh God, get me out of this scrape. Get me out of here. Send your help from on high. I need help and I need it right now. Get me out of here and make me the victor. That's number two, the petition. So we got number one, the complaint. That's holy and good. You need that one. Number two is the petition. You need that one too. Ask and it will be given you. You need to ask to receive. But then we often neglect the third part of prayer, which is the secret weapon. Are you ready for the secret weapon? Yes. What is the secret weapon to unstoppable joy? The third part of prayer is praise and thanksgiving. And if you take up and wield that part of prayer, you will have unstoppable joy in your life. That's what the Scriptures teach. The secret weapon really is praise and thanksgiving. Now let's see if this is really true according to Scripture. How important it is for us to have it. Look at the Old Testament, for example. how God calls us to continually, don't forget the thanks and praise part. Psalm 100, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Then also Jeremiah 30, of the saints it is written, out of them shall come songs of thanksgiving, and their voices, the voices of those who make merry. Then again, Psalm 50, he who brings thanksgiving as a sacrifice honors me. To him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. That's power, friends. There's power that is unleashed, and marvelously so, into your life. When the praise goes up, the power and gifts of God and the treasures come down like fireworks. So, that's the Old Testament. God calls us to it even more in the New Testament. As therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Do you guys abound in thanksgiving? Is that the greater part of your prayer? We also read, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Don't forget that part, says the apostle. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And one more, Philippians chapter 4, we read this. Listen carefully. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. There's the joy part, right? And it says, after that, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer, that's the giving your complaints, casting your cares on him, and supplication, there you get the petition, God grant me this, with thanksgiving. Part 3, the secret weapon. Therefore, let your request be made known to God. And what's the result? When all that goes up in those great ways, the power comes down marvelously, just like fireworks. You sit back and watch God go to work. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why is this the secret weapon? Why do I say thanksgiving and praise is the secret weapon? Don't you know that already? Isn't it everywhere openly seen in Scripture, as in an open field? Sure. Why is it a secret weapon? Because we often forget it. We neglect it. We don't take it up. And the devil seeks to hide it from us. And so we're missing the greater part of the power of prayer that will bring you an unstoppable joy. It's sort of like, I was thinking how to do this, because it's Thanksgiving, right? I thought I can bring up an actual pumpkin pie up here and start cutting it up and eating it, but that might be a little tough. So last night, I said, here, let's make some pie charts, okay? Let's say this is your prayer life, okay? When you go to God in prayer. The red part is the complaints. This is how we usually do it, right? Almost all of our prayer time is spent like, oh God, this is a terrible situation. Oh, I'm casting my cares on you. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, do you see what they're doing to me? Do you see how many forces are arrayed against me? Oh, I'm not feeling well today. This is bad. That is holy, okay? That's a good thing. But should it be the greater portion of your pie? Then we get to the blue part. That's the petition. Oh, God, get me out of this scrape. Oh, God, set me free from my enemies. Oh, God, come down and give me strength to be the victor here. Get me out of this trouble. Save me. That's the second part we often do. That's the blue part. So 90% of the time on this pie chart is complaining. It's good, though. The second part, 9%, is given to God help me here, the petition. This last tiny little sliver, the green part, is what we do for thanks. Oh, good, yeah, and thanks and praise to you, because I know I got to do that, too. Isn't that the way it usually is? Let me ask you a question, okay? Just participate with me here. If you focus all your prayer time on complaining and then asking and never getting to the third part, the secret weapon, thanks and praise, how are you ever going to be happy in your life? All you're focusing on is, this is my trouble. It's like you're watching a wave monstrously curling its head over you. Oh God, it's a big wave. Oh God, how am I going to get through this? Oh, it's terrible. Oh God, you're going to save me here. And then you go to prayer again and you go, oh God, do you see this wave? How terrible and monstrous it is? Ah, terrifying. Oh, get me out of this scrape. and you're only doing that, how are you ever going to be joyful? Because even if you get through that wave, and God's going to help you through it, give you the victory, but then you're just afraid all the time, and you're only waiting for the next wave's going to hit you a few seconds later anyway. I got a better solution. How about we slice up our pie a little differently? How about we use it like this? Wouldn't that be a beautiful slicing of our pie of prayer? You give your complaint to the Lord, the red one. That's 1% this time. Just take a few minutes, say, God, here's my problem. You know it already, but I'm letting you know what I'm going through. Cast your care on the Lord. Then get to your blue part, another 1% sliver of the pie, and say, God, here's my petition. I need your help. Give me the victory. Get me out of this. Show me the way through. Make me the victor. And then, that having been done, just spend the whole 98%, the rest of the pie, in this green section, which is just, thank you, God. Praise you, God. You've never let me down once. Every bill I've ever had before you've paid, you're going to pay this one. This Goliath will just be like the last Goliath, like the bears and the lions I've beaten before. Oh, God, you're amazing. You never let me down. You're faithful. God, glory to your name. How amazing you are. Oh, God, this is great. And I'm going to come out on the top. You know, all of a sudden, the wave that's coming upon you is going to be no longer something that's submerging you like the surfers that go under the wave sometimes. Now you're going to be surfing on top of the wave because you're just praising the Lord. And when you do that, the fireworks really start. That's when the power of God comes down. And he blesses you with his presence in because he lives in the praises of his people. Then he's going to give you his peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. He will bestow upon you with all joy. And then his power is going to come down even mightier for you to deliver you from that present wave because he loves when you praise and thank him. Why? Because praising and thanking him, that third part, is really faith. Think about it. Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will. If you only complain and ask, well, that's faith too. But when you praise him, God, I thank you that I already have the answer. It's already on the way. It's coming to me. And I'm with you and you're with me in this. And isn't this great? And you're amazing. You are saying, God, I believe you've heard my complaint. You've heard my petition. The help is on the way. I believe that I've received it and am receiving it. And God says, oh, angels, did you see what you did, what they're doing down there? Watch what I'm going to do for them. And then let the fireworks really begin. So you're going to slice up your pie a little differently maybe this week. Maybe it's not exactly this, but if you were to say that this is a 24-hour day, okay, that would mean 1% of the day spend, what is that? That's 14 minutes complaining to the Lord. Okay, you can get it done then. Spend the next 1%, 14 minutes telling the Lord how to, what do you want, how you want him to save you. The next 98%, 14 minutes, 14 minutes, now you have 1,412 minutes to say, God, you're amazing. God, you're great. Isn't this marvelous? I'm going to get the victory. You're with me. And I love going through this with you. You're going to be surfing the whole time, the rest of the day. So, joyful warriors. This is the secret weapon, if we but take it up. Now, let's see if this is really true, or if I'm just giving you some smoke or something. Is this really what the Bible says? Let's check this out in Scripture and see if this is really what happens, okay? Jonah, take him in the Old Testament. Remember that guy? We read that, you know, he was fleeing from the Lord, and then he gets cast into the stormy ocean, and then the great fish swallows him. He's in the belly of the fish, going down to the land of darkness, to the roots of the mountains, at the depths of the sea, at the gates of Sheol. Not a happy place to be, right? And we read, he says, the first part, the complaint. The waters closed in over me. The deep was round about me. Weeds wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Complaint. Then he goes, number two, to his petition. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered my Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. A petition. And then thirdly, he goes to praise. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to thee. What I have vowed, I will pay. And then comes what? Joy. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Can you imagine doing that in the belly of a fish at the bottom of an ocean, thousands, you know, fathoms, fathomless deeps? And he's down there, joyful, turned a stinky hellhole of a place into, God's with me here. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Joy. Watch this, even before the fish spits him out. While the wave is over his head, he is a joyful warrior. And what's God do on account of that? Gives the joy in the fish. And then we read the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah upon the dry land. He also gets the victory that he was looking for and praying for. He was a joyful warrior. But the point especially is, by getting to the third part, he had joy even in the fish. That's pretty cool. Do you want joy in the fish? How about King Jehoshaphat? Remember this guy? He was a good guy, but he was having a very bad day. Because the enemies were coming against him. Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. So many that there was no way they could win this battle. No way. It's a total hopeless cause. Except, we read, number one, he feared the Lord greatly. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he gives his complaint. Behold, God, the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, they're coming against us to kill us, to kill me. Then he goes to the petition. O God, wilt thou not execute judgment upon them? In other words, wilt thou not save us from them? That's the petition. Then what's he do? Anybody know the story? He's going out to battle, unwinnable. And then we read that Jehoshaphat appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array to go before his army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And we read that when the men went out with trumpets to face the battle, that the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and boom, they were routed. All Israel had to do is come up and lick up the spoil. Didn't even have to wield their swords. Because, again, the praise went up and the power came down. But you note something, Jehoshaphat was joyful before he saw the victory. And Israel rejoiced before the enemy was routed. That's the power of thanksgiving. To give it into your heart even now, today. And then also to give you the victory in the battle as well. Consider, how about the New Testament? We see this there. Remember Paul and Silas. Remember in Acts 16, they're in prison. Not a good place to be. They were beaten up that day, stoned. They're in iron fetters. They got bleeding wounds. They got bruises all over them. What would you and I be doing then? We'd spend all our times in Complaintville. Oh God, this sucks. This is a terrible place to be. I'm hurt. Do you not see this, Lord? And then we'd go to the petition. God, get me out of this. Then we'd skip the thanks and go back to the complaint section. And we spend all our night complaining. Oh God, please help us here again. But notice, the Holy Spirit doesn't even record for us that part. All we read in the New Testament was that they were praising him. I mean, they skipped this so fast, the Holy Spirit said, let's just record that part. About midnight, they were praying and singing hymns. And the other prisoners are like, who are these supernaturally joyful people over here? They're rejoicing in prison after getting beat up and mauled all day. And then we read, suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's iron fetters were unfastened. And out they come to victory and freedom. Notice, while the wave is over them, they are praising God. They got joy while they're in prison through the praise. God gives it to them and then he sets them free fast. Do you want to slice up your pie a little differently? Can I give you one more example? Are you with me? Shortly here, Peter, one more here. You know, he's arrested as well. He's in prison. They just killed James, his friend and fellow apostle. They're going to bring Peter out, Herod is, the next day to kill him. Peter is in prison, and he has less than 24 hours left to live. What would you and I do? Which one are you going to choose? I mean, we'd be like, oh, God, I'm going to be killed tomorrow. I got hours left. Oh, God, save me. And then pace back and forth. Oh, God, I'm in big trouble. Oh, God, don't you see it? Oh, God, don't you see it? Can't you see where I am? Oh, God, this is terrible. Oh, God, set me free. 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 Isn't that the way we usually pray? That's okay. Those are good. Those are good to do. You need those parts too. But look, Peter, how do we know he's just praising God? How do we know he has unstoppable joy? What do we see him doing? What do you see Peter doing? We see an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he had to strike Peter on the side to wake him up. The guy is sleeping. Why? He got to the praise section, and it was so marvelous. He was sleeping like a baby in a cradle so soundly that the angel had to go whap to try to get this guy awake, so peaceful was his sleep. And that came, I tell you, through praise and thanksgiving. And do we see power came down into Peter's life? Man, his chains fell off like melted butter. He got up and walked past the guards who were awake invisibly. They didn't even see him. Then the iron gates of the prison just swung open before him, and he walks out to freedom. Don't you want that in your life? You know, we're missing the power because we're missing the praise and the thanksgiving. Just slice up your pie differently. Remember, praise and thanks is faith, because it's saying, yes, I've complained to you, God. Okay, I believe you heard me. Yes, I've petitioned you. I believe you heard me. Now I'm just going to praise you that, yeah, the answer is already on the way. I'm rejoicing in that. God sees that. He says, you've believed already that I answered you before you saw it? Watch the fireworks about to begin. And so he says for you, in conclusion then today, let's slice up our pie differently. Not 90% complaint, 9% petition, and 1% thanks, but 1% complaint, 1% petition, 98% praise and thanks. Because, you know, your letter got through the first time. You don't need to send 1,000 complaints to God and 1,000 petitions for him to have heard you. Your first letter got through. Praise and thanksgiving just simply says, God, I know the mail was delivered. I know you heard it. I know you know, and I know you're going to answer me. Praise be to God. Thank you, God. You're amazing. And you can have joy if you're at the bottom of the sea in a fish, if you have enemy armies marching against you or any troubles of life, if you're in prison and in sore straits, you can have joy now in the wave through praise and thanksgiving, and then a speedier deliverance, I believe, through the Lord's answer to your praise and thanksgiving as well. And who's the best example of this as we conclude? Obviously, Jesus Christ. He's on his way to the cross. Now is my soul troubled. That's the complaint. Then he gets to the petition. What, Father, what shall I say? Petition, save me from this hour. Nope, for this purpose I've come to this hour. Thy will be done, petition. Then to praise. Father, glorify thy name. And what happened to Jesus? Well, two angels appeared, strengthening him. All of a sudden he's like, refreshed in joy and courage. To the cross I go. And he did that, and he saved the world. And he saved you and me to an eternal life in his kingdom. Jesus is the ultimate joyful warrior. For the joy set before him, the joy he endured the cross, despising its shame, and he's now seated at the right hand of the glory of God in heaven in triumph. And so, Thanksgiving, have a great one. Slice up your pie differently. Let's put the greater emphasis, at least, on the praise and thanksgiving. And when that power, that prayer of power goes up, the power of God will come down, and it will make you and me a joyful warrior. Amen.